Today is the Feast of Christ the King. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul to Colossians chapter 1. Brethren, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in lights, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things exist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy. Because in him hath it well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, taken from John chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou a king?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief of priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." Please be seated. My kingdom is not of this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, dear friends, these words were some of the last words spoken by our blessed Redeemer, spoken on the last day that he spent on this earth, just hours before he died. And his whole life was summarized in these few words: "My kingdom is not of this world." He was born in a stable. He lived and worked in poverty, and he died nailed to a tree. And yet he is a king. This Feast of Christ the King is not very old. 1925, Pius XI, he wanted to institute this feast as a reminder to the whole world, a world which was forgetting God. And for centuries, forgetting him, Christendom was crumbling. In his encyclical Quas Primas, Pius XI beautifully explains the doctrine of Christ's kingship. It was not a new doctrine, it was a doctrine since the time of our Lord himself. The apostles knew that he was king, and the first saints in the first centuries, they knew that he was king. But the Pope explains, our Lord is king firstly by nature, by virtue of the hypostatic union, the union of his divine nature and his human nature in the second person of Blessed Trinity, the eternal Word. Our Lord Jesus Christ is God, and therefore he is the creator. And as St. Paul says, not only the creator, but the sustainer of all things. He keeps all things in existence. He knows everything, and he can do whatever he wants. Our Lord is God, and this is the first reason why he's king. Everything is subject to him. But the Pope explains that he's also king by conquest. He's king because of what he did. He worked, he prayed, and especially he suffered. He shed every last drop of his royal blood to redeem eternal souls, all our souls, all souls. All souls are his by a double right. And he has the right to reign over absolutely everyone. Pius XI also condemns secularism, this heresy which refuses to recognize the rights of God over persons and peoples, this heresy which organizes the lives of individuals and families and of society itself as though God did not exist. This is secularism, and this is our world. Secularism which promises a utopia, and yet it destroys society as we see today. There is no happiness outside of God's will, and there is no peace, or can never be any peace, outside of the reign of Christ. The liturgy of today's Mass is very rich, and from these beautiful prayers we can glean some characteristics of our Lord's reign. How does he want to reign? How does he reign? And the first thing that strikes us is his reign today is hidden. We don't see him. We don't see his power. We know, we believe that he is in complete control, that not even a leaf falls from the tree without his knowing, without his permission. But we don't see. He is all powerful, and yet he respects the free will of men. And if today's world is in such a mess, if the crisis in the church continues, it's because he respects the free will of men, the mistakes of men. This evil in today's world is simply the consequences of sin. And yet he is still king. His reign is also from the cross. Regnavit aligno Deus. God has reigned from the tree. The gospel of today's Mass gives us perhaps the most powerful scene in all of Scripture. Our Lord appears before Pilate. He's crowned with thorns. He's scourged. He's dripping with his precious blood. And he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And the church, his mystical body, which is the continuation of his life on earth, must echo the same words. 20 centuries of persecution, of suffering, what seems like failure, but never defeat. The church has never been defeated and will never be defeated. But our Lord wants to reign from his cross. It's his mystery, and he will judge this world one day with his cross. We also learn from today's Mass that his reign is a reign of love. The preface of today, I encourage you to meditate and to think about these words today for the rest of the week, this beautiful preface. The Sacred Heart is the heart of a king. St. Francis Xavier Cabrini understood this. You know, her order was called the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart. And if you go to the shrine and you climb to the very top of the hill, you can see the stones which she placed in the shape of a heart crowned with the cross. And certainly if she did so much, if she traveled all over this country doing so much good, this great saint, this powerful saint, it was the charity of Christ which urged her. She was convinced of the love of the Sacred Heart. She was convinced of the love of Christ the King and the power of Christ the King. And what a tremendous grace that we have this magnificent statue of the Sacred Heart overlooking the city of Denver. We should be very grateful and very proud of that statue and try to be worthy of that statue. Our God is a God of love, and his love is still working in today's world, this fallen world. He is still searching after souls. Just yesterday, we had a baptism here at the church. A young man of 18 years old. What a tremendous grace in today's world. An 18-year-old young man who's looking for God because God was looking for him. And as the baptismal water flowed over his forehead, tears came down his face because he was so grateful for the grace of his baptism. He was so grateful to be part of the mystical body of Christ, to be part of his church. It's a very edifying example. Yes, our Lord's love is still winning hearts. And lastly, our Lord's kingdom is eternal. Cuius regnum erit finis. Of his reign there will be no end. Every time we pray the creed, we say these words which come from the angel Gabriel, the Annunciation. To his kingdom there will be no end. The post-communion really captures this idea. The church tells us, having received the nourishment of immortality, we beseech you, O Lord, that we who glory in our service under the standard of Christ the King may be able to reign with him forever in his heavenly kingdom. Heaven is his kingdom, and it is our home, and it is eternal. So, dear friends, what can we do today for Christ the King? Do we just come to Mass? And of course, we have a procession today, which is very important. We will process outside the church for the world to see. But is that enough? What can we do for Christ the King? We can give him our hearts. That is what he really wants. He wants to reign there first. He wants to reign in your homes. He wants your homes to be places consecrated to his Sacred Heart. That is what it means to be a traditional Catholic. Being a traditional Catholic does not just mean that I go to the Latin Mass, that I prefer Latin, I like Gregorian chants, I like incense. No, of course not. It means simply believing in the doctrine of Christ the King, that he must reign. He must reign in my country, he must reign in my home, he must reign in my heart. That's what it means to be a true traditional Catholic, to be subject to his reign. If I listen to worldly music, if I am always watching worldly shows, if the internet is always in my life, then I don't really believe in the doctrine of Christ the King. He wants to reign, and he must reign first here. There's a strong quote from St. Teresa of Avila, which I'd like to give to you today. She says, "Remember that you have only one soul, that you have only one death to die, that you have only one life, which is short and has to be lived by you alone. And there is only one glory, which is eternal. If you do this, there will be many things about which you care nothing." Yes, that is how it should be. We have to live in this world. We have to go through this valley of tears. But there should be many things about which we care nothing. Whatever is not eternal is not important. We know that the one important thing is serving and loving our Lord Jesus Christ, is following him and making his kingdom spread on this earth. That is all that matters. Behind every good king, there is a good queen. And of course, behind the greatest king, the King of Kings, there is the Queen of Queens. We go to her heart today. Her heart, in the words of the great poet Chesterton, he says, "Seven swords were in her heart, but one was in her hands." Yes, Our Lady is queen, and these are her times. These are her battles, and she's there for us. She wants to help us. We go to her, we ask her for this grace to be convinced, to be convinced once and for all of what really is important, to be convinced that our Lord must reign, to repeat those words, "We have no king but Jesus." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.